What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter.
Inside of your email sales sequence, should each email have one call to action or more than one call to action? The answer sometimes can be a bit unclear, and I'm going to try to help you answer it for yourself by sharing a client story. So I have this client. We've been working together for a while. And when we first started, I was troubleshooting their funnel in our kickoff call, and they have a free ebook. When somebody opts in to that free ebook, that person that opted in is delivered a series of emails that deliver the ebook and then attempt to sell a membership. Now, the client, part of why they had hired me to manage their ads and fix their funnel was because they needed to sell more of their membership. Oh, weird. I live in Mexico and I heard this weird noise. It was one of the dogs next door to me, kind of yapping. If you've been to Mexico, you've heard plenty of dogs barking. It's because here, having a dog is like having a home security alarm system. The dog's in your yard, it barks. And that's what I just heard. But this bark was extra bizarre. So the issue is that at the bottom of my client's email, when I first looked, he had good emails. And at the bottom, though, there were like three images, and each image was a call to action and a link to go somewhere. And so these emails would have like a link to go to his Instagram account and a link to go to the membership sales page, and then also a link to go to their in-person programs. And so the first thing I'm thinking is, by the way, my name's Quajo. I'll tell you what I was thinking about my client in a moment, but I'm the official host of the Art of Online Business podcast. Rick introduced me as host back in episode 746. And if you're like, where's Rick? It's been a while since I listened to the podcast. Who are you? Well, I was coaching with Rick inside of his Accelerator Mastermind group coaching program for like 3 years. And when Rick decided to pursue a different direction, he wanted me to take over the podcast because I, like him, am passionate about online courses and online business memberships and coaching, but I'm like a fresh voice. I'm not the wise sage that Rick is, though I have many of the same skills that come with coaching, sales and marketing and team dynamics and hiring and systems and processes. I am just a new upstart. I'm a Facebook ad manager by trade, and I have recently launched 3 courses that have to do with Facebook ads and tripwire offers, how to make them for your own business, and troubleshooting funnels, which are the exact same services that I offer. And so good to meet you. My name's Quajo. I hope that you will be hearing more of me. And back to the episode now. So this client had the goal of selling their membership, but their sales emails and their lead magnet sales email sequence, well, the call to actions were very clear. They weren't muddled. There was just like 3 of them in every email. So what we did is, well, I don't think we should have 3 call to actions in one email. My client did, though. So let me walk you through my reasoning. Number one reason is something that I did not make up myself. Well, I don't make up much myself. I do, actually. But this was, wow, where is this going? This is decision fatigue. And decision fatigue is just the idea that making numerous choices or decisions, especially in a short period of time, can lead to a decrease in your ability or your lead or your prospect's ability to make sound decisions or choices because their mind is just drained. And what does that mean for us online marketers? It means the more decisions you put in front of somebody, the lower the possibility or the likelihood that they will even make one of those decisions. We're bombarded with decisions. We don't want to overwhelm our prospects, our leads, who are also bombarded with decisions. We don't want to overwhelm them. I'm thinking of my kids, specifically my daughter, who does struggle with ADHD. She was diagnosed with it. And my wife and I had to retrain ourselves. We just cannot give her three directions in a row because she will forget those two directions and not even do one of the directions. And she doesn't even really know which one is the most important, or she will at the time that we give the directions for sure, because she's a super smart individual. But then she goes up to her bedroom and she'll just forget all three. And folks on your email list or people who have just come into your business ecosphere are in many ways the same, but because of decision fatigue and not ADHD, which is don't give them so many things to do, one thing to do per email. That way the likelihood of them taking that action is higher. Also, if you put a bunch of links in your email, like my client here, his social media is strong, like 70,000 folks follow him on Instagram, right? So if you take different links to other areas of your business, somebody who's on your email list might click one of those other links, and that destination is not optimized to do anything, let alone convert them into a sell for the offer, which, by the way, selling is serving. That's something that Rick always taught me, and that's something I strongly believe. You are here to serve somebody by selling them your offer that's going to deliver to them a breakthrough in whatever area they need, right? And so we want to make sure that we're helping as many people as possible. And so you put a link in your sales email sequence that sends somebody, let's say, to your social media. Well, they're going to see your social media and probably get stuck there because your social media is good. And then they might not ever buy something just because life gets in the way. Also, what if they go to a page on your website and that page isn't necessarily optimized to sell, though it has a bunch of products on it, but then they don't know which product they need right at the moment, and they don't really have the time or the attention to click on various different products to figure out which one they need, or read the sales pages of three different products and then compare those to figure out what they need, and there is another potential sale lost. So you want to, here's a solution, put only one type of call to action in your email. And by the way, if you are an online course creator and you have a funnel, as in a funnel, a series of emails that can sell a product that comes after, let's say, your lead magnet, or you're giving like a webinar live or recorded, I have this tool that's a funnel leak finder. It's a spreadsheet with all the funnel steps. You can put in your percentages and conversions, and I actually teach you the standard conversion rates in there, and you can see which step of your funnel is leaking leads. Because this is what I do a lot. People pay me to consult them on their funnels, and I notice the same kind of questions. And so this is one kind of tool that I use in my funnel consulting to help discover the leaks. And now you can go and use it for yourself. That link is in the show notes below, or the description below if you're watching on YouTube. So choose one job per email. Emails do not like multitasking. Give them one thing to do and focus everything in that email toward that one action. So if your email is building authority or revealing or showing to your email reader that you have helped somebody with a similar problem that the reader probably has, i.e. a case study, that case study should be aligned with that email's one goal. And then the inline links, as in those more natural links that are inside of a paragraph that don't say buy my stuff, but more like if you casually mention the name of a program or a solution and you link it there, those links should go to one place. And the call to action button in your email should go to that same place. And the PS blah, blah, blah paragraph and link should also go to that same place. And this way your reader will be ultra clear where they should be going and what they should be doing if they have the issue that your email brings up and would like to do something about it if they choose to do so. So it's okay if in your email sales sequence, you have an email that prompts people to follow you on social media because you would like to have people reach out to you in the DMs and you would like to grow your Instagram following or your YouTube subscribers. That's fine. Have that in its own email that serves that purpose. And if you want somebody to reply to you, say, like to tell you something that they struggle with because you're there and listening and you might make an episode about it on your podcast or on your YouTube channel, have that be its own separate email. This is what I advise. This is what I do. My name's Quajo. Until the next episode where you get to see me again or hear me again, be blessed and take care. Bye.